Revive. Revive. What do you think revive means?
To come back to life.
Anybody else? Save someone. It actually means to restore life or to restore to consciousness. Let me read you scripture in Ezekiel 37, 1, verse 2 and 2. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with" what? Bones. Say, valley filled with bones. "He laid me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were set and completely dried out." Completely dried out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come. It will minister to us, God. We just pray right now that your Holy Spirit move, God. Tonight is our night. Tonight we're going to be revived, God. We're going to bring back the consciousness of your word, that we can bring your light into this dark world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So when I think of reviving, I think of CPR. Anybody else? CPR. One of my favorite movie is Dumb and Dumber. And at this part, Harry and Lloyd are at this burger place, and this guy that's taking them on the ride gives them a pepper. So they think they're going to be funny, put a bunch of peppers on him. And guess what? He starts having an attack, a heart attack. So they start giving him CPR. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but Lloyd's doing chest compressions, and he's trying to give him mouth-to-mouth, and the guy's fighting him. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to be revived. He just wants to have his pills. He's got pills in his pocket. Come on. So they get the pills out, and they shove them. Like, pills are good. Tell them, if you see them, pills are good. Well, what they didn't know was they were feeding him rat poisoning instead of his pills to help his heart attack, and they killed him. I remember when I worked at Providence Hospital, and I used to work in a place where there was a lot of old and feeble people that were sick. And see, when things would go bad, they would yell out over the intercom, "We got code whatever." Okay? Code blue means someone was coding and they were unconscious. Code brown was when they pooped all over themselves. You didn't want to hear code brown. That means poop was everywhere. So when I heard code brown, I would just go to the bathroom or go to the place to eat lunch, to the cafeteria, because I didn't want to mess with that doo-doo. I mean, it would be bad. But I remember this one time I heard code blue. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize code blue was right there beside me. It was this patient. Just came back from cardiac surgery, heart valve replacement. And when you have a heart surgery, they give you a tube, a chest tube that kind of filters your blood, you know what I'm saying? So if you have any, like, you know, bleeding or stuff, it just filters right back into this tube. Well, his chest tube filled straight up, and I had to do CPR on him. I was freaking out. This dude is dead. So I ran up, I'm like, all right, so you got to check. CPR, what you do, you check for blockage of airway. There's no airway there. This is my friend Fred. Say, hey, Fred. He's dead right now. But to bring life back to Fred, I had to give him chest compressions, just like this. You start doing it. And I was doing this, saying, dear God, please don't die. I'm just a flunky. I don't know what I'm doing. When you're doing chest compressions like this, they give you songs to sing like Staying Alive. How convenient. Staying alive, staying alive. I was singing, dear Jesus, help me. Please don't die on my watch. I don't have Aflac insurance. God help me. And see, when you're honestly giving him all chest compressions, he stays alive. But when you stop, what'd you see? A red button, a red light. Fred's dead. Fred is dead. So Ezekiel gets taken to this place of this valley of dry bones. And they're dead. They're just bones. Have anyone ever been to a valley of dry bones? Anybody? Well, is there any life there? Nothing. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? The person says, Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, Are you smoking crack? No, he said, You alone know the answer to that. Pretty much, only you know, God. I have no clue. Then he said to me, Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, Dry bones, listen to the words of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath back into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet as a great army. So Ezekiel got this prophetic word, and he's like, okay, God, you told me to say this, so I'm going to say it. So he said it. Boom, these people, like Fred, formed. Nothing. No breath, no pulse, no vital. They were dead. They were dead. How many people in your school is dead? How many people do you come in contact with each and every day that is dead on the inside? Now, I'm not talking about dead literally. I'm talking about there's no hope for them. They feel like that. They're depressed. They're starving for attention. But on the outside, they're just like Fred. What's up? Happy-go-lucky, but deep down, they're hurting. Have you ever felt like that? You can walk. You can talk. You can eat. But you're just like Fred. You're dead on the inside. Have you ever felt like that? And I see Ezekiel, when they had flesh on their body, they were still dead. They still needed what? Breath. The breath of God is just like what? The Word of God. And when the Word of God brings life. My challenge to you tonight is each and every one of you know someone that needs to be revived, right? Who wants to help me get Fred back to life? Raise your hand. Who? Raise your hand. Come on, Casey. Yeah, come on. Listen, this is how it goes. Don't kill him now.
We need, first of all.
Here, come over here.
Yeah, find the.
Look, you just put your hand right here and you start pumping when I say go. Ready? Start pump. What's your name?
Peyton.
Give Peyton. Get him going, Peyton. Let's go.
You can die, man. I got broken
legs. Go ahead. You're not pumping hard enough. He's dead. There's no light. Come on, pump. Next, who wants to help? Come on. Listen. I'll start it off. Listen, how many of you, listen, this is really important. There's dead people you come to a class with that don't know Jesus, maybe been to church, maybe even went to church a bunch and got hurt, maybe been lied. Come on. You start pumping. Look at this green light. And see, we're doing the chest compressions. Come on. Give them to him. He's dead. Hurry up. Come on. You got to put, there you go. Come on, David. Give him a big hand. Come on, David. Keep going. Keep going. He's going to die. Keep going. Come on. But see, David's trying to invite him to church. Come on. Come help me. Come on. He needs help. Come on. Come on. Hustle. Hurry. No, keep pumping. Keep pumping. He's dying. He's dying. Come on. Pump. Pump. But see, look. When one person is inviting, trying to show life, trying to be the example of Christ, what happens, David? You get tired. Are you getting tired? Yeah. Then this is where we are as a church. We step in. Tommy jumps in. He's dying, Tommy.
How do I do it?
Right here, with your heel in. Stay alive, stay alive. Stay alive. Come on, pump it up. Pump that. There we go. Come on, keep going. Don't stop. There we go. You can stop. See, but too many times we quit. Listen, too many times we quit. We pump, we pump, we pump, we pump. We invite them, come to youth, come and see, come and visit. God will meet you there. God's going to be there for you. And they're just like, they're just an external body without the life of Jesus Christ in them. And they need to be revived. But when they need you, what happens? You run from it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. We as a church, as youth, no, people that we come in contact with that are right now like this, that are dead. So when we start giving them CPR, giving them chest compressions, we're inviting them to church. We're inviting them to youth. We're being examples of Christ. But the one thing that can bring life to them is once they get here, we believe that the Word of God can breathe the life into their body. That can breathe prosperity. That can breathe wholeness. That can breathe fulfillment. That can breathe their future, their visions. They're worthless. They're not worthless. They're worth something. They can do it. You can do it. You can be a part of us at youth. Savannah, can I have you for an example? But what happens is, come on. How many people right now do you think are laying in bed right now just like this? You know, they're probably from youth, skipping out on youth, that need to be revived. Think about it. There's people in your school, there's friends that you have that you know that are desperate for attention, that are desperate for a hug, that are desperate for everything. And we have the answer. Let me tell you a story as Brady comes. I have a friend that I played baseball with in college, and I knew his brother a little bit, but not very much. His brother was he did, you know, maybe some drugs and did that kind of stuff. Well, he hung himself Sunday in his dad's barn. And that just hit me right here. Because I didn't know his brother that well, but how many people do you think are laying in bed right now or on the couch? They pull their covers over their head because they're dead inside. They have no hope. They don't have the breath of God in them that brings life, that brings eternal life, that brings fulfillment, that gives them their future. Come on, can you relate to this? You might be the only person that can come to this person that's laying in bed and says, this is it. I'm tired of my life. It sucks. Every person I see looks funny at me, cross-eyed. I'm way too fat. I'm way too skinny. I'm way too stupid. I'm not smart enough. I didn't make the baseball team, the football team, the band team, whatever. And they give up. And you are there in that time of need. What are you going to do? Are you going to be there and say, how you doing? How's life going? Can I do anything for you? Can I pray for you? Hey, I go to this place called Youth. Yeah, it's great. We have a great time. The pastor's bald. He's trying to grow a big beard. But you know what? God can meet you in your time of desperation. God can revive what everything happened in your life that was bad, that the devil meant for bad. God can turn it into good. Come and see. Come with me. Come on. Give her a big hand. Because let me tell you something. The breath of God does not only give you life, it gives you understanding, it gives you order, and it gives you strength. Tonight, you might be here and you might feel like that person Maybe you feel like you don't have the breath of God. Maybe you feel like you don't have strength. You don't have order. You might not have life or understanding what's going on in your life. That's okay, because I know who does. And His name is Jesus Christ, the name above every name. As we stand and worship, can we stand and worship? Lead us, Brady.